morning. Good to join with you, see many people that I know, and some new faces too. It's great to be here this morning. The most important thing is that we're in the presence of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to give you a little bit of an update of what you've been doing in your prayers and your finances. You guys, by the way, you've been helping us monthly with our house. We rent the house there in Cambodia, and every month you guys are helping us pay for that. That was great. That kept us from having to move out of that house. And I'll get into that later. It's like, thank you, Lord. So I was going to move to a one room, and the Lord provided through you guys. You know, you got to do what you got to do. And so praise God. You guys stepped up, and I appreciate that. I want to show you some. Is that the beginning? I don't think that's the beginning. I put it together. I don't remember that one. Go back, buddy. Okay. There we go. Okay. See? Because it has your guys' name on there. So just first of all, thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers and support. And definitely, Pastor, we hope you guys will come out and come back to Cambodia. We are based in Cambodia. Been there 2004. We have actually financial partners and done ministry in, you got Thailand, Vietnam, in Iraq, and Cambodia. Most of our work is in Cambodia. Teaching ministries in Vietnam. Finances have gone to Thailand and Iraq. Praise God, the Lord's doing awesome things in those places. Next picture, please. 1040 window. This is like, it's hard to figure this stuff out, but somebody figured out there's 7.3 billion people on the planet, and they're saying, all these guys that do this missiology stuff, that there's 3 billion people in the world that have yet to hear the gospel, or they have little or no access to the gospel. So out of that 3 billion, guess who lives in that little window that's highlighted? Almost all of them. You guys know the little bit of geography, and you figure out that's one of the hardest places to do. North Africa, Middle East, Asia. So that's the hardest place to reach. There's a lot of barriers there, but we're in Southeast Asia to be a part of reaching the unreached. Because you guys know a lot of people in America are not Christian. They need evangelists, but they have access to the gospel. They could have came here today. You invited them. You share the gospel with them. Other people share the gospel. They have radio. They have stuff available. Although it's decreasing, there's a lot of religion, but the gospel may be decreasing. It still has access to it. These people don't even have it. It's amazing when I've been in Cambodia all these years to go up to somebody who have never heard the name of Jesus. They have no idea that there's even a God. It's awesome because you start with a clean slate. It's harder in America to share the gospel because people have a lot of religion and a lot of stuff in the way. Next picture. This is Pastor Mon Avi. I love this guy. He's a great brother in the Lord, him and his wife. And we're just so grateful that you guys have helped us to be a part of the work that they're doing. We help the nationals. That means we collectively are helping the nationals do the work of ministry. Next picture. This is Pastor Cy Young. He is taking an old house that his father gave him, converted into Bethel, the house of God. He's going to end up taking youth from the remote villages that have no high school, bring him into the town. They will live in this house that he's renovating. And praise God, a church just gave us some money to help renovate. $4,000 is going a long way. It's an old wood house, and he's doing a lot of work himself, and he's hiring people. You know, $20 a day, you get a really good carpenter over there. So some people want to go on short-term mission trips, and they want to build something, and you spend $3,000 going over to build something. Just give me the $2,980, and then we'll hire a guy. And by the way, just aside, it's true. I've seen it. People come over there, good intention. They build something, and then when they leave, the nationals tear it down because the guys who came didn't know what they were building, didn't know how to build it. They built it the American way. Remember, these guys are not American. So anyways, Pastor Cy Young, I love this guy. And I'll talk more about him in my message, but this man definitely has persevered. I have seen him literally at the verge of starvation. And he's got a wife who was a Muslim who got saved first. And they got the twin boys and the little boy there. And God just miraculously intervened in their lives and saved them and has been their ministry goal. He's reaching over 600 kids every single week. That's just the kids, not the adults. Next picture. Here's what his new gate in front with Visette. He's our director of ministry in Cambodia. Next one, please. This is Pastor Cy Young in a public school sharing the gospel during the school session. walking in. These kids know the Word of God. I asked them questions. These are junior high kids. I said, and I asked them, anybody know a Bible verse? And a number of them stood up and they can quote the Bible verse. He's very good. He comes out of the Baptist roots, and he's really big into the Bible and Bible memorization. I love this guy. Next picture, please. This is some of the youth of Pastor Tom's group. These are high school students who are actually doing ministry. They came to Pastor Tom's church, a different pastor, from their remote village, lived. They weren't believers. There was none of them that were believers. They heard the gospel for the first time, got saved, got discipled. Every weekend, every Sunday, just about, they go out to share the gospel to children in our 414 Children's Club. Next picture, please. These are some of our 414. Pastor Tom is not in this picture, but I'll show you in a moment. But this 414 is one of the schools. He now has 8 schools that he's going into and share the gospel. Primarily, he goes on a Sunday. The school is closed, unlike Pastor Cy Young, who goes actually during the school day. So these are some of the children. Average 50 children per school that he's seen weekly. You multiply that by 8. That's what he's got, minimum, with no evangelistically, you know, no stretching, no adding to. It's really the numbers. Next. This is a house that Pastor Kong wants to buy. It's like $100,000 out there. And the reason he wants to buy that house is that he could bring kids again into the from the village, get in that house. He'll live there with high school kids. It's 3 bedrooms, you think, 3 bedrooms. How many people go in a 3 bedroom? You know, over here, they're going to put 10 kids in each bedroom. And they won't feel bad about it. They'll feel roomy because usually it's 20. Next one, please. Now, this is Pastor Sokit, and I think he's talking to Pastor Mike regularly and getting Bible lessons from him. You guys talking through Facebook or what? Okay. Great. All right. So this is one of his many outreaches into the villages, a lot of children. 414 is children age 4 to 14. We're trying to hit that window because that's when most people give their life to Christ in that age group. Next picture, please. This is another location, I think, or the same one, I forgot. Next one. This Pastor Sokit, teaching the youth, preaching the Word of God. Next one. Vietnam. You guys recognize Pastor Thomas over there? So we had a great time. By God's grace, we're going to go back into Vietnam this fall sometime. We're working on our schedule right now. Hopefully work things out. Next picture. And this is our Chinese son. He adopted us in Cambodia. He's a missionary from China. His church sends out 10%. So count 10 people, and one of you have to go out to a foreign country. And that's what his church did. He had 10 people, and the pastor said, well, one of you have to leave China and go out and share the gospel. His church of 300 has how many missionaries? 30. And Vietnam and Cambodia. So Joshua is invited us to China, and we're working on September, and by God's grace, we'll go. He's with Visette. And Joshua is married to a Khmer girl, and they have a beautiful little girl, new baby. Next one. This is our family outing yesterday, and we went to the land of the giant chair. So that's Santa's Village. You guys ever hear of Santa's Village? So it was really neat because we got all 8 of our grandkids together. We have 3 sons. That's our 3 sons right there. And our 8 grandchildren. Our only grandson is kind of hiding. He likes to play hide and seek from the cameras. And our daughter is down in Texas. So that's kind of an overview of what our family kind of looks like. As you pray for us, I hope you will do that periodically. And we pray for you. We believe God is going to continue this partnership that we have, this relationship. So if you have a Bible with you this morning, you're going to want to open up to the New Testament book of James. I don't know if your pastor's been doing a teaching on this particular book lately.
No.
Okay, well, there we go. That worked out good. Amen. Amen. We really are grateful for your partnership. It's a big blessing. Financially, you've helped us, but it's good to have real brothers in the Lord, and Pastor Jay and Pastor Mike, that encourage us, and We always enjoy our fellowship with them and their families and coming to see you too. Can you open up to James chapter 1? I'm going to read a short portion of scripture here. If you look at chapter 1, verse 1, and let's finish up with verse 7. Who wants to stand up and read that nice and loud? 1 through 7, James chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Who's got that? Go ahead, brother. Go what you got.
Okay. 1 through 7, correct?
Yes, please.
This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, it will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty, as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about perseverance. And this portion of scripture, as James is writing, he's talking to the church and he's encouraging them to persevere. He's encouraging them, and then it's odd that he uses the words in verse 2 about this, how do you mix perseverance in and hardships and trials and testing, and he talks about this, count it all joy. And I'm thinking, well, When you walk with the Lord for a while, every one of us to have made it past the first day that we said yes to Jesus, we had to persevere to the next day. And some of us have been going through for years. The reason I think the Lord put this on my heart is, in our life, right now in America, there's a lot of people just seemingly dropping out of the family of God. There's some prominent people. People that haven't persevered. There's people that have made it through difficult years, and for one reason or another, they decided to stop believing in God. There's this growing number of quote-unquote clergy or pastors or people in ministry who are now atheists. And I was doing some reading on some different Christian magazines and coming across different articles. Some of them are more prominent than others. But what happened? Years ago, I had a missionary friend of mine who was actually a pastor at a church I was at. And this man really helped mentor me in my life. And one of the things he, probably unknown to him, he said to me a number of times, he said, just keep persevering. He was talking in a particular context one day. There was a young man that was going through some struggles. He actually had come out of the homosexual lifestyle. The church we were a part of was right set in what's called Boys Town in the city of Chicago. So it wasn't uncommon that people in that particular lifestyle would come within the church. And we'd have a lot of outreaches, and people really got saved. And there were people that I personally came across who were instantly and miraculously delivered, we might use that word, from that particular area in their life. And they lived a very good, holy life. I knew a lady, this is 30 years ago, never had a problem with that again in her life. But there were other people who struggled. And Pastor Jack and I were talking about a young man that was struggling about going back into that area of his life. And he was just encouraging them to persevere. He said, it's better that you keep fighting than that you give up. Like, why do people give up? How is it that we believe in Jesus and then something happens in our life and we give up? What stops us from persevering? Well, right here, trials, testing. This is not an easy thing. I mean, even he says count it all joy doesn't mean it's joyful. I remember walking down the street in that particular Lakeview area and walking with a young man that had committed his life to Christ, and he had a lot of zeal and he was on fire for God, and he used to go out doing street evangelism with us, and he was out there and some guy spit right in his face. Wow, right in the face. And I thought, this guy, he was a real tough kid, you know. I'm like, he's going to hit him. He didn't. He allowed the guy to spit in his face, and it was a nasty spit. And he allowed it to run down his face, didn't wipe it off, and that guy's cursing him out, and this young kid standing there, and he tells him about Jesus' love. Guy was on fire for God. I was like, wow, we got a guy like that in our youth group. That's good. He didn't persevere. Years later, I heard about him falling away from the Lord. Heard about him totally going away from God. What happened? What happens to people? It's not like you and I woke up this morning thinking, wow, I'm going to mess up today. Let me plan that on my calendar. Mess up day. Post that on Facebook. How do you feel? Well, I feel like messing up. I feel like going away from God. I'm going to jump all 2 feet right into sin. No, we don't do that, do we? Being a grandfather reminds me of being a father because my kids have grown and they're in their 30s and older. And I'm thinking, well, look at my grandkids. They remind me of my kids. Because when they were little, they all have this, I love them, they're cute and they're adorable. But boy, can they have that little bit of sin nature in them that just comes out of them. And the cutest little kid. So sweet. Where does this thing come from? Need to get saved. Need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, when James is talking here about this idea that we have to persevere, he's trying to help a group of people to walk through a very difficult time in their culture. Christianity wasn't like accepted in the culture. Christianity wasn't embraced. And that's becoming a part of the American culture. I said to you a moment earlier when I was giving a little bit of an update on the ministry, it's actually easier to go to a culture in which Christianity is rejected outrightly. At least you know where you stand. It's harder to go to a group of people that say they're believers in Christ, and yet they contradict the very word of God that they claim to believe in. What their words are, their deeds. Look at this, Paul. James says, count it all joy. What joy? How can I count this joy? It tells us that these trials and these testing are going to produce something in our life. And they do produce something in our life. I was reading an article, and then I heard a man also speaking on this about Charles Darwin. He had studied for the ministry. He was going to become a clergyman. And then he started having doubts, and his daughter got sick, I think like about 10 years old, and she died. He prayed. He prayed for God to heal. He's actively pursuing God in his prayer as his daughter has some disease or sickness, and she needs healing, and he's crying out to God. He believed in God. He went to school to study God. But he didn't persevere because of a test. Because of a trial. Because of a difficulty. Now, there's guys that are athletes. They know that. People that are involved with sports, you know, there's the perseverance. You got to get past that. My wife has started running years ago, and she's pretty consistently done that. You know, I started running years ago, and I pretty consistently have never done it. I used to be a wrestler. Used to be. I used to be in shape. I'm not persevering. I've stopped. So we know what that is, don't we? We know what it is to stop, and we know what it is to persevere. We understand that in life. When difficulties come, and what's happening in our culture is people don't want difficulties. We've got a generation. It's not even the younger generation. It's the baby boomer generations who didn't like the discomforts, who didn't like the struggles, who didn't like the hardships of their parents who went through the Depression, who went through World War II, who went through the hardships, and then I came along, and we didn't want all these things that were hard. So then we passed that on to our own children. Look what happened to an American culture in 40 years, from the 1960s to now. So producing, what is a trial or a testing do? How does it produce things inside of us? When I was thinking about this pastor, he's pretty famous. What's the guy's name? Bell? Rob Bell. He had a big ministry. A lot of people follow. A lot of young people. I mean, wow. I had friends of mine who were like totally into every DVD, CD, whatever the guy had. They had it. And I just wrote an article recently. I'm a little behind the times. The guy declares now he's an atheist. I go, oh, wow, how did that? What happened? I found out he started off as a Seventh-day Adventist. I mean, really like the law. You know, everything was in order. And if you're going to live your life for God on law, it's going to be harder to persevere. Because it's only ultimately going to be the grace of God. It's the grace of God that got you saved in the first place. It will be the grace of God that will help you finish. Let's get that out of the way. Let's remember that before we go anywhere else, that you're not going to persevere on your own ability. Because what's going to happen and what's happening right now is going to get darker and darker and more difficult and more difficult. You're not going to do it by yourself. I was thinking about the ministry. 11th year coming up. That's just the ministry in Cambodia and 20 years of pastoral ministry. Anybody who's ever been in ministry understands the necessity of perseverance. And then you read articles, Pastor, about people that are in the ministry that are dropping out. And I read these articles and say, wait a minute, how can it be 10,000 pastors no longer are pastors? What is it? Well, part of it is mathematics, that you've got 20 little churches that all blend into one big church. Now you got a guy with 25,000 over here, and you got a guy with 50, 20, to whatever, adding up. So the small churches. So I was talking to my friends, my Cambodian friends, Pastor Navi, who literally had a gun held to his head and told that if he didn't sign a piece of paper giving the land for the church over to this person that demanded it, that they were going to kill him. You don't have to worry about long perseverance, right? It's going to be quick. Got a gun. It's over. Bing, bing, boom, boom. You're gone. It's not like a long thing, right? So Pastor Navi, the one you saw the picture of, he says, well, Lord, this is not my land. It's not mine. It's yours. I'm not signing the paper. If you want me to go with you, I'll go with you. If you want me to stay, I'll stay. Well, the Lord let him stay. They threw a grenade in the guy's house. When they went to the church property and they tried to lay a little foundation to build a church, people came out and prohibited the Christians to go to that property. They had guns. And they told them they couldn't go to that property. You couldn't go there to pray. That's coming to America's. It's already here. A lot of the church buildings that are in America won't be here in 10 years. Because you won't be able to get in them. Because people will stand outside and say, hate, hate, hate. You got to persevere? Somebody's pitching your face? Got a hangnail today? Oh, got to stop serving Jesus. Oh, man, that hurts. I'm not going to church now. Man, look at my nail. I can't go to church with that. Persevere. It's raining now, right? Snowing. Perseverance. Got a flat tire. Well, I'm not going to church. We were down visiting our daughter. She's got this boyfriend. Kind of think it's this guy. Where's he at with the Lord? All that stuff. I was really happy. She got a flat tire. I'm not happy about the flat tire. She got a flat tire. Sunday morning, walk outside, flat tire. You know what the boyfriend did? Came, got us, got the tire thing fixed so we could go to church. We went to church late, but we went to church. And the guy's message was powerful. I'm glad we persevered. I'm glad we went. We went a flat tire. So Pastor Navi has all these trials going on in his life. I told you about Pastor Cy Young. When he was in ministry, when I first met him, the guy was like right at the verge of starvation. There's no food. His wife was going to leave Cambodia and go to another country to find a job and probably get trapped up in human trafficking. You know, 80% of all human trafficking has to do with labor, not sex trade. It's not that sex trade is good. It's 20%. But 80% is simply people leaving to find a job and they become enslaved. So his wife was, he said, no, he's praying she wouldn't go. How many of you guys ever know? You married? How many guys married? How many of you ever told your wife no? You better pray. Because telling her no and not praying doesn't do you any good. You won't persevere. You won't. So he prayed. And she stayed. And God took care of them. We have a friend of ours that Jeannie adopted, the guy's kids. This guy was a pastor of a village churches. And he wanted to leave the ministry because his family, his wife is saying, how can you go out there and preach the gospel to all these people and tell them about how great God is and we don't have enough food to feed our family? That's what she told him. She wanted him to quit the ministry. That's pretty hard, man. It's your wife telling you. It wasn't like she was lying to him. And the truth was, they were barely making a bowl of rice a day. It was hard. And the Lord put on my heart to go over there and start helping this guy a little bit of money every month. And just when I came over and gave him a couple $100 to help build him a little, he had a little shack. Going from a little shack that looked like something you put the chickens in to make it a little wood house, that helped him to persevere. That let him go. That helped him to get to the next level. We need people to come alongside of us just when we're ready to give up. Somebody come and help me. I know I look good. My wife told me I look good. But I don't always have my act together. Over the years, there's been a number of times I wanted to quit. It isn't like as if those people are bad people. It isn't like anybody's bad. It's just it's me. Sometimes I just get tired of being tired. And I just get tired of being tired of being tired. So I'm so tired of being tired that I'm tired of being tired. I just want to forget about it. Crawl in the hole, forget about it. I remember going over there, it was so hot. Like God knew this thing. He knew it. He knew it. And he knew I didn't like hot. He knew it. I'm over here in Chicago, and I'm working as a carpenter. And I'm working outside, it's hot. I don't like it. God knew this. He already knew that. Before I even got saved, he knew I didn't like hot. So it puts me in the path of this guy. Guy gets up one day, speaks about Cambodia. I said, hey, that sounds good. Sounds cool what God's doing over there. Let me help you out. I started giving some money every month to this guy's ministry. Got his newsletter. One day the newsletter said, we're looking for somebody to come over and help. I go, I don't know. Put the newsletter down. That newsletter spoke to me. I put the newsletter down. The newsletter spoke to me. Put that newsletter down. Boom, it spoke to me again. For over a couple of months, it's speaking to me. I'm telling my wife. My wife says to me, you better go. So I made plans, contacted the missionary, went over there. When I got there, it was cooler time of year. It was only running close to 100. I was only there a month. I mean, come on, you can't do a month. You know, a month, you can do a month. A lot of people can do short-term mission. A week is not a problem. Most people can do a week. I mean, bugs. A week you can handle bugs. Well, a couple days, right? So I'm over there the month, and all the time I'm there, my body is miserable. But something inside me is on fire. Something inside me is on fire. And I endured that month. But I had to come back, and I told my sister, I told my wife, we're going back there. I knew it. What I'm saying to you is that over the years, God has helped me to go from this place to that place. He never gave me the long thing. He didn't say, Keith, you're going to do this. He didn't give me, because he knew. He knew how weak I am. Don't look at me and think I'm strong. I'm not strong. We were over there, and this guy came from America, and my wife was having a hard time. Every bug in Cambodia was jumping on her. Every one of them. And when they bite you over there, like, poof. They get the super mosquito, you know. You ever see that commercial with the mosquito? These ain't the little things, you know. Slightly exaggerating. But they're biting my poor girl over there all the time. And I was like, I don't know, Lord. This is really getting tough. And I was having a hard time. And this guy comes to me and says, He puts his arm around me. He says, "Man, Keith, I really admire you. You're a real strong man of faith." I know I'm not. I'm a wimp. I'm a crybaby. I just don't cry in public, that's all. I'm a crybaby. Spent a lot of time crying. Crying out to God, "Why you put me here? This ain't my people." 11 years now. I haven't even learned the language. What's wrong with God? He got the order messed up. I mean, when I was a baby, I was dyslexic. When I was in school, I had a hard time. I couldn't understand. And today, you say B and D and P. I was like, whoa. My wife would say, "I said B." I said, "You said D." I'm telling you the weaknesses of a man, because there's a strong God. You're not going to endure by your own power. You're not going to persevere. You're going to end up being another person that named Christ. And 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, when you're 68 years old, are you going to turn away from him? You were raised in the church. You were raised with godly parents. You think that guarantees you an open door to heaven? You got to have your own faith. Can't rely on mom and daddy. Thank God for them. You're the Jew. You have an advantage. You had the Word of God. You had the temple worship. You had the fellowship. You have it. You had the advantage. And not everybody who has the advantage takes advantage of it. Listen, he's telling us here, he's telling us about sin, you know, right here. He gets right into this stuff about sin and how sin is inside of us, and we can't blame God for it because God doesn't tempt us, God doesn't put that in us, but this world, it's out there, it's there. Yes, it's there, but it's here. And you're not going to persevere in here unless he's in there. And it can't be something you met him at the altar. You know, I love our worship time. It was beautiful. But that worship time, that public worship time, is to get you from here to here. That's going to help you persevere. But you've got to be setting your own altar. You know, and I over here in Cambodia, and you're in a foreign land, and you don't have this nice worship, and they need help with worship. They need help. We have it. But you know what? You got to worship God by yourself. I'm telling you, if you don't worship Jesus by yourself, I'm telling you right up, you will not persevere. You got to love him. You got to love him. And he's telling us that this pure joy, we got to count it all pure joy. These trials come, the testing come. This is going to help me. I don't want it, but it's going to help me. And what's it going to do? It's going to produce something in me. I don't want the problem. I don't want the testing, but I want what it produces. I want the maturity. And that producing of the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts, this perseverance, which is this endurance under pressure. And I was thinking about, and I wrote down here a reference in Paul's letter. It just came to my mind that I was meditating on this, that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when he talks about his own testimony, he starts like listing what he went through. And Paul says that he worked harder than anybody. He says that he was in prison more frequent than anybody. He was flogged. He was exposed to death again and again. And he said 5 times he had 39 lashes. 3 times, he says in verse 25 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, 3 times I was beaten with a rod. Boy. Whew. So when we die, we go to heaven. We're going to stand in front of Jesus. You're like, "Wow, that's cool. I'll stand in front of Jesus. That'd be great. Praise God. I'll bow down and I'll worship him." You better pray you get to Jesus before Paul gets to you. Because Paul's going to ask you, "What was your problem? How hard did you have it? That's what I read that, I'm thinking, that's what Paul's going to say to me. Keith, come on, Keith. I know down there right now they think you're cool. They think you're a big missionary, you know, because missionaries are cool. You know, like you're real spiritual. You're like, you're better than them. Paul says, I know a secret. I know how many times you try to give up. I know how many times you whine and crying. How many times you complaining. And you never went through any of that. It's like, boy, how do you count this stuff pure joy? How do you write these letters in jail? And you say, count it joy. How do you tell people rejoice? And I'm going to tell you again, rejoice. He goes on to say in verse 26, he was, you know, all this stuff happened, dangers, and he goes, all these different danger. And the part that kind of got to me, like, besides all that, verse 28, besides all this, he said, every day I had to pressure the concerns of the churches. I thought, well, boom, that light bulb went on. I said, I remember that. I remember the first 5 years I was over there, I wasn't gaining weight, I was losing weight. Because I was like, going to these very, very poor people who barely ate anything. And I came home and I couldn't eat because, like, these people don't have any food. So I was thinking, if they're not eating, I can't eat. And then I was making myself sick and I was, like, trying to be God, but I wasn't God. So, like, you know, you guys ever watch a TV commercial? They show the little starving poor person. You know, 98% of you turned it off real quick. It bothers you. You don't want to see that stuff. So then you feel really bad going to Starbucks, you know? Like, can you put a commercial? Well, you can just one Starbucks a day you can support. And they tell you 20 kids or something, right? So what is our role? What are we supposed to do when people have real, genuine, tangible needs? And we have some ability to help meet them. We don't want to get off, and it took me 5 years because I was off to work through my emotional mind. That I'm not God. But I had a responsibility. Because James tells us that to say that you and I have faith and yet we see somebody in need and then we say, well, God bless you, brother, go. I couldn't do that. You don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. So he talks about these churches and the problems he had within the church. You know, he had a lot of problems. Paul had a lot of problems within the church, leadership problems. He had rebellious people, false doctrines, all these different things going on. Well, I want to conclude with this idea that the perseverance that I need and you need is the same. We need the Holy Spirit to indwell in us. We need the Word of God to wash our mind and renew our mind. And what I'm concerned about, and even in my own life, is you can get so busy doing something that you put aside those things. Your pastor can give you a good message on a Sunday. You can listen to a good teaching program on the radio. But honestly, you got to get into the Word. You won't persevere. You gotta step up from where, well, I already read it. Well, you gotta read it again. You read it again? Read it again. Why? Because there's always another trial. There's always another test. And for me, like, I think James is like writing to me, he's like inward. It's the inward thing. I gotta work this inward stuff. I'm doing okay on the outside. You know, shaved the head, got rid of the gray. You can do a lot of good things on the outside, don't you? Give me a few thousand, I'll go get a, what do you call it, tummy tuck? Get a cheap one in Thailand. See, this is the thing here. Look. Jesus is talking about people that need to persevere because if we don't persevere, and Jesus talks about like this great falling away thing, like, you know, when does that happen? Is it happening now? Is it going to happen? Some people think it's happening now. In Matthew 24, he's like, well, they're going to love like the world and their love's going to grow cold and they're not going to care about people. They're even going to be against their own families. And Families turned against families, like in Luke chapter 21. Jesus says that you will be betrayed by your own parents, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, your friends. Some of them, your own relatives are going to put you to death. Well, that's not nice. You guys ever have any non-believers in your family? Anybody having everything running smooth with that? You know, I tell you, I got your secret. I can guarantee you will have smooth with the non-believers in your family. Guaranteed. Don't talk about Jesus. Number two, as important, don't live for Jesus. Smooth. There's no perseverance needed. You'll blend right in. So Jesus is saying, like, we got to stand firm in chapter 21 of Luke, verse 19. And I like this way this is worded, like, stand firm and you will win life. Stand firm. There's a lot of scriptures about perseverance in there. Paul persevered. Paul finished his race. And I was like, man, God, I want to do that. I want to get to the end of my race. The race, the course that God laid before me. And I want to complete that. I want to complete it with joy. I want to complete it that brings joy to my Father in heaven, that brings joy to Him and pleases Him. So ultimately, this perseverance is going to come only through our walk with Christ. Like in 2 Thessalonians, I got two scriptures left. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. May Christ persevere. May Christ persevere in me. May He endure in me. May I allow Him to endure. And this scripture that many of you are familiar with in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord. You know the rest of it? Trust in the Lord with all your, and lean not. See, that's when we get in trouble. I get in trouble when I lean on my own. Well, God, I don't see. Come on, God. It's like, Lord, I've done this before. We had some people promise some money, and I'm like, just don't say anything. And then I find myself getting angry. Why they? So now we say something in Cambodia, like guy says, I'm going to give you. Then I say, okay, we don't say anything until we see it. And I was getting angry at people. And I was looking at them, and I was getting diverted and getting sidetracked. It's like, God, you're going to supply. You're going to take care. The Lord will provide. Now this man, he just got $4,000 to help that house. And he's getting support from people now that can help feed his family. He gets enough money to feed his family. And it's not just something for me, but when you see somebody having need, you're like crying out to God, and you're praying, and then you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying, and it's months. We've been there 11 years, almost. October will be 11 years. Been praying for 11 years for a truck. 11 years. I gave it up on the truck. I was riding a bicycle. Walking. Then I met these two ladies. I think Pastor Mike met them. There were three of them originally. And they walk house to house, sharing the gospel, these two ladies. And then I met them, and I got $30. I bought this lady a bike, and I got $30 and bought that lady a bike, and they're happy. The old lady's like 65, you know, riding the bicycle, going places, and the younger girl's with her. House to house. They have probably shared the gospel with more people. Well over thousands of people they share the gospel with. An entire village is turned to Christ because the old man, the grandfather, got saved because he got miraculously healed and God saved him. So I've been praying for years, and then last week, you know, I thought, okay, I'll put it in our newsletter one more time. We're praying for a truck. We need $10,000. Okay, God, there we go. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to have faith this time. I'm going to really speak over mine and believe God's going to do it. Well, this lady about 2 months ago, she sent me $50. I go, I really did. I got, wow, thank you, God. That's my seed. I started thinking, this is the seed of the truck. She sent $50 for the truck. I said, well, $50 towards the truck. But we still need $9,950, right? But once you get the seed, who knows what happens? Who knows what happens? Who knows what happens? You get the seed. So Just a few days ago, this guy calls me up. He says, like, I'm in Texas. I go, okay. Talked him up. I thought it was about our meeting we're going to set up. Listen, did you get the money for the truck? Well, yeah, we got $50. How much did you need? $10,000. Well, brother, we're going to give it to you. I go, going to give it to me? I told my wife, I'm going to do the happy dance. I was doing a happy dance in Texas. But that's persevering. That's 10 years plus waiting for something. I've been praying for that for over 10 years. Darwin was praying for his daughter to get healed. She died. You know, in the Bible, it talks about prayer, about asking God. And then how many of you have asked God something and you got it? How many of you waited a month, 2 months? But how many honestly can say you've been praying for something for years? Did you give up like me? It's like, I put it away. Okay, God, that's another life. But no, the Lord was reminding me that was something I prayed for, and I'm going to believe God for it. It gave me a stir in my faith again. So we got that. I was like, praise God. I'm saying that to say that in the tangible life that we live on this earth, God gives us things we need, not always when we want them, but we have to persevere. You know, the stories about people that turned away from God, a lot of it has to do with tangible things. We met a guy years ago. He was told, he was a new Christian, and he was told about the prosperity of God, and there's a lot of truth of God's blessing in our lives. But listen, when the things that he prayed for didn't happen within a week, that guy said he didn't want to believe in Jesus anymore. You got to persevere. Persevere for your healing. You know, there's every one of us, as we get older, our bodies change. We got to persevere and believe God for healing. I was listening to Pastor Jay's testimony about God's helping him with his back. You know, we got to persevere. Don't give up. What do you need financially? What do you need in your family? How many of you got the unbelievers in your family? I got so many of them. I was like, God, help me to persevere and believe you and continue to pray and trust you. Because in persevering with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to live the life that pleases God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Pastor, why don't you come up and close your meeting? Thank you.
We're going to take an offering for... It's one of the most honorable things we do.